So it is really common at this time of year to reflect about intentions. Usually folks talk about resolutions, which usually means goals. And in our practice, we don't so much talk about goals, which are distinct destinations. I'm going to lose weight or eat less or exercise more. Those are the pretty typical ones. But the intention is more of a way of being, a direction, like a North Star. May I take good care of myself this year? May I live from health, well-being. Those would be more intentional. In mindfulness meditation practice, intention is hugely important part of the practice. Both in modern Western practice and from the ancient roots. The Buddha said, "With our thoughts, we make the world." Thought and intention are often translated back and forth. With our intentions, we make the world. That's a very strong statement. But Viktor Frankl said, but apparently it wasn't Viktor Frankl, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. Viktor Frankl said, in modern terms, he said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. So another way of saying the same kind of thing. We're always acting with intention. It's about whether we're aware of it or not. And so that in and of itself can be a very useful place to practice. You're going along in your day. You're walking along. You're buying groceries. And you may not be fully thinking, may I live from health and well-being. May I tread softly upon the world. These kind of higher intentions. And so, I don't know about you, I can walk along, I can grocery shop on automatic pilot. And when I do that, which is unfortunately a lot of the time, I create suffering. I create suffering for myself and others. So, you know, I may be walking along and I'm impatient with people on the sidewalk, because I've forgotten that I have a higher intention of living from love and peace. I've forgotten. I didn't put it at the front of the mind. So having a day like this to reflect on intention and to practice moment-to-moment awareness, we cannot, it's so important, we cannot live a life of intention without that awareness or presence. If we're not actually showing up for the moment, it's very hard, I would say impossible, to live from intention in the way we're talking about, from our higher intentions, from our better angels of our nature, as it were. In Tibetan tradition, they say everything hinges on the tip of intention. Everything hinges on the tip of intention. And the Dalai Lama, he will talk about, it's not the results that matter. It's the intention behind it. That's what matters. That's what we have to pay attention to. So we have that kind of moment-to-moment intention, which is like just that kind of urge to do, to like scratch or adjust our posture, or take another step. we have that. And when we come to a day like this, we're thinking more about those longer term intentions. So the first one, that moment to moment, that's in the short term, in the moment. And today we're reflecting more about those longer term ones, about, you know, how am I going to live my life from this moment forward. But of course, that kind of intention affects the moment to moment, right? They're not separate. So that second kind of intention, that longer term intention, is more like a resolve, a determination, a deliberation. There's a great quote from Thoreau on this. Probably you've heard of Henry David Thoreau, who wrote Walden, and he went off and lived in the woods for a year and wrote a book called Walden's. You go to university, you read it. Everybody reads it. And he said, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear. Nor did I wish to practice resignation, unless it was quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck out the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as to put to rout all that was not life." So there's lots we can get from his quote. When we live deliberately with intention, there's that deepening of the presence, there's the gratitude, and there's courage and determination that's required. Living with intention, I find, and in the mindfulness tradition, requires some understanding of how things are. It requires that remembering that that everything's changing, nothing's permanent. Requires the remembering that because everything's changing, nothing's reliable. And that they're suffering from that lack of reliability. And it requires remembering that everything is conditioned. That who I am is, as we like to say, this conditioned arising in this moment. None of us are solid entities. We arise out of conditions and causes. We're changing moment to moment, our thoughts, our emotions, our body sensations. So this wise understanding of these three fundamental characteristics of what it means to be alive is imperative as a underpinning for having wise intention. And coming to terms with those three characteristics, it definitely takes courage. It takes courage. Here is this great piece from Mary Oliver. It's called West Wind Number 2. "You are young, so you know everything. You leap into the boat and begin rowing, but listen to me. Without fanfare, without embarrassment, without any doubt, I talk directly to your soul. Listen to me. Like the oars, lift the oars from the water. Let your arms rest and your heart and heart's little intelligence, and listen to me. There is life without love. It is not worth a bent penny or a scuffed shoe. It is not worth the body of a dead dog 9 days unburied. When you hear a mile away and still out of sight the churn of the water as it begins to swirl and roil, fretting around the sharp rocks, when you hear that unmistakable pounding, when you feel the mist on your mouth and sense ahead the embattlement, the long falls plunging and steaming, then row, row for your life toward it. This is courage. This is determination. And many of us feel that we are in embattled times, that so much of what we hold dear is being challenged, that so much progress that's been made, especially in terms of civil rights, human rights, and so forth, in the past 50 or so years, are being severely challenged. It's a great time to practice. It's a great time to live with intention and to realize, wow, we're living in very interesting, challenging, exciting times. We're hitting some rapids, we're hitting some falls. And as people who are practicing, if we're not living with wholesome intentions, then what will happen? The urge to, as Michelle Obama says, go low, is very strong these days. And when we talk about living with intention, we're talking about going high. Yeah? So that takes courage, it takes presence, it takes that basic awareness. It takes some letting go. You know what I mean. Those, you know, you're wanting to live from love and peace, and your partner says something really annoying. Really annoying. Or does something really annoying. And it's so easy to escalate, to enter into the fray. It's so easy. And I do find those days when living with intention is closer to what I call the front of the mind, I tend to pause more and live more skillfully, live from those intentions. So it takes that determination, it takes what has been in my mind lately, grit. There's a word that's fallen out of disuse. It takes grit. Especially when the stakes are high. But when we live with intention, it's inspiring. It inspires us and it's inspiring. So when you have a day or an hour or even a moment where you've kind of walked into a situation, expressed something, been with somebody with those lovely, wise intentions front and center, it just feels good, right? Makes us feel good. It's very inspiring. And so we feel like we can do more. And so it's about making these choices. I like this little piece. It's called Choices. Tess Gallagher. I go to the mountainside of the house to cut saplings and clear a view to snow on the mountain. But when I look up, saw in hand, I see a nest clutched in the uppermost branches. I don't cut that one. I don't cut the others either. Suddenly, in every tree, an unseen nest where a mountain would be. I don't know about you, but I love this poem. And it, you know, she's making a choice. The life of the birds and the trees is a bigger value. It's a bigger intention than having a beautiful view for herself. It's a bigger, it's the real, true bigger picture. Okay, so to finish up. So just to summarize, and so when we act from intentions, it needs to be informed by that wise understanding of how things are. They're impermanent, they're unreliable, they're conditioned. And when we act from intention, the moment-to-moment experiencing of life is more vivid, it's richer, it's more inspired, it's fuller, it's more pleasurable. Our speech is affected. We speak wisely. Our actions obviously are affected. Wise action. In terms of our livelihood, we engage in a wise, compassionate livelihood. The energy of our practice is informed with these wise intentions. Our mindfulness is informed. And in terms of our practice as well, there's a chance for some concentration to happen. So it's a choice, and it when we make these choices, we're making a choice. Do I want to suffer? Do I want to cause suffering? Or do I want to not suffer? Do I want to not cause suffering? That's fundamentally what it's all about. And to me, it's about that in the moment, but it's also what kind of legacy do I want to have for my life. And of course, this takes commitment. And here's the famous quote from Goethe on commitment. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help you that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in your favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no one could have dreamed would have come your way. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. So commitment. Okay, so we're going to go into our day as best we can, having intention. Remembering that intentions are not goals, that they are guides, not the destination, but more the map. So, or the compass, if you like. So we notice when we're off our intentions. And that's not an opportunity to beat ourselves up. That's an opportunity to reset our course. And this is key. Because do we want to cause suffering, or do we want to alleviate suffering for ourselves and others? I think most of you, probably all of you, do not want to have suffering or cause suffering, or you wouldn't be here. So letting the intentions gently guide us. And feeling the joy and the happiness and the fulfillment and gratitude of when we, not this way, but this way. And we reset that. So I love this little piece, and I'm going to finish here. I don't know the author, but it was a translation from Sanskrit. I love this piece so much that I have it posted on my fridge. And it's the only piece I have posted on my fridge. You'd think my fridge is probably covered in stuff. It's not. Just this one. So, look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision, but today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Such is the salutation of the dawn.